Hi, I'm Keegan.
And I'm Madigan.
And you're listening to
Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist. This is a podcast where we explore the world through our own personal feminist perspectives.
And this week we'll be talking about a topic that I know that you and I are both really excited about.
Mm-hmm.
This episode will be coming out on October 1st.
Lovely.
And we'd like to know, are you like the rest of us? Are you obsessed with fall?
Me?
No, the listeners.
Oh, I'm like, yes.
No, the listeners. Like, are you guys as obsessed with fall as we are?
I feel like in LA, fall is a really exciting time because it's finally not just like the typical summer atmosphere. It starts to change because summer seems to last forever. And like, I'm in like a flannel dress right now.
It's still hot.
And it was hot out.
Yeah.
But I was like, God damn it. I'm wearing a flannel dress today.
I bought this nice leather
That's cute.
Jacket.
Oh my God, Target. Target is coming out with some cute things.
Target's
right
coming
now.
Up. So I bought this leather jacket and I'm like, when am I going to wear this?
In 2 months?
It's like 90 degrees every day now. It's like cold in the morning and cold at night now.
Yeah.
But the day is still really hot. But anyway, so welcome to October.
Welcome, you guys.
I feel like this year is flying by.
I know.
It's almost over. I feel like it just started.
Keegan, we started this podcast at the beginning of the year.
I know. It's bananas.
So, bananas?
Bananas.
Are they cold bananas?
Sure.
Bananas.
We wanted to kind of take October and do some really fun, kind of spooky subjects.
Ooh.
And what better to start off October than witches?
Witches.
The history of witchcraft and feminism, I feel like, are always interlinked, intertwined.
Very much so.
And so I thought this would be a really good subject for us to get started on.
Yeah, I went, like usual, I went down a rabbit hole. I don't think I've ever written so many notes in my life for an episode.
Well, the history of witchcraft is really fascinating. I remember going down a YouTube rabbit hole, like, a year ago or so, whenever I really started getting into just watching nothing but YouTube. And because they make it easier. They're like, here's another video.
Yeah.
Here's another video you might be interested in.
That's scary, though, because you never know what you're going to end up with.
Yeah, you end up on conspiracy theory, flat earth shit.
I've landed on some weird, like, what did I find the other day where it was like, me and my daddy thing.
Oh.
It was like sexual weird.
No.
Yeah, I was like, how did I get here?
Oh, no.
I was on YouTube for like a few videos, and the next one that shows up, I'm like,
and now that FBI agent that's watching your every move is, like, real suspect of you now.
Now they watch everything.
But I definitely went down this, like, rabbit hole where I just was watching video after video of witch trial documentaries.
Yeah.
Like, all of the witch trials. The ones that were here in the States, obviously. Salem is the one that I think people think of most often.
Yeah.
And then also a lot of the witch trials throughout Europe.
Yeah.
That go back centuries and centuries, and kind of how that whole thing sprung up.
It kind of started out like in the Old Testament. And so it does have like a lot of base, I feel like, in religion, at least like the folklore does a lot. And then if you think about like early colonial America, you know, Massachusetts, right, was like a very like pure like Christian-based community where like religion,
Puritan America,
that like really enforced like the law and religion were like one and the same, and they really like bring home in the Bible about like witches and the difference between good and evil and like use it as like a pagan practice.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you want to start kind of at the beginning, for most of history, people believed in witches and like for real believed in witches, not kind of spooky fairy tales, like really believed that witches were, you know, real people. And before Christianity took over, witches were kind of seen as like healers. They were like positive figures for the most part.
Yeah, some say that witch, like they don't know the exact origin of the word, but some say that it could be like wit or wise, and it's kind of like meaning like wise woman.
Oh, yeah. That makes a lot of sense because they were really sought after to help with healing and childbirth.
And like fortune tellers. And,
yeah, absolutely. And then I have here that around 500 AD, the more like maternal pagan religions or practices were taken over and overrun by Christianity.
Yeah.
And I wrote, hi, patriarchy.
Yeah,
there,
for
there
real.
There you are.
Yeah.
So then the feelings around witches began to change, and witches began being blamed for problems that they were once like called upon to help solve.
Right. I mean, they're blamed a lot of times for diseases. I was reading about how like witchcraft is to blame for HIV, AIDS, and all these different things.
Well, it became very easy to blame.
Yeah.
You know, because obviously there were a lot of sicknesses happening at that time.
Yeah. And then even things like bad luck, sudden death, impotence. Like sickness in animals. They're like, it must be a witch.
And especially if they were like men's problems. Like if you
like
let
impotence.
Like impotence.
It's like, this woman's a witch because I can't get it up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's cast a spell on my dick, basically. Yeah.
I mean, who's saying that they didn't?
I mean, it's up for debate.
Were you being an asshole?
We were not.
Is this like a teeth situation?
Did
you earn it?
Did you deserve it? But I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that a lot of these women who were in kind of positions of like honor and authority were considered like intimidating.
Yeah.
They were intimidating and scary. They held some power.
It is a very like weird, like modern medicine of the time almost too, because if you look at like, quote-unquote witchcraft today, mm-hmm. it's very much, it's so L.A. It's like, here's an herbal remedy and the blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? It's very, like, it would have been very, very modern at the time where maybe when they were coming up with other things, I can see where men would get, like, really intimidated about, like, the smarts that these women had.
Yeah, they had a certain kind of knowledge, and in that knowledge, it brought them, like, a certain kind of power. I mean, look at the way we think of doctors nowadays and, like, the kind of power that we give them. And I think also, when you talk about a lot of religious people, I think they really call upon faith to restore you, or like faith to heal you.
Yeah.
And they don't rely as much upon like potions and herbs and like things to medicines, essentially,
right.
like to make you better.
Right.
So they might be thinking like, well, it's God's will for this person to die. Like, who are you to step in and intervene, you know, in ways like that, too? Because think about that. I dated a guy whose parents were, or grandparents were Christian Scientists. And that's what they believe. It's like, they do not give medicine to their children if
what?
They're sick. They don't go to the hospital. They're like, if it's God's will for, God will make you better. And if he doesn't make you better, then you're supposed to die.
That sounds like abuse.
I mean, there have been a lot of cases in Christian Science, you know, where the parents have been like, it's my right not to medicate my child.
Yeah.
It's my religious
beliefs.
But
I feel like social services needs to be called.
A lot of times they do step in and they like force the child to be medicated for things like, for cancer and things. But then there's the whole debate of like, well, where does your religious freedom end?
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, so male church leaders preached that the actions of these women were the devil's work.
Yeah.
And these people were living in a time of a lot of fear and superstition. So it was pretty easy to kind of turn the townspeople against these women who behaved out of line.
Right. Exactly. It's interesting because we're talking about religion, and I think about myself being in sixth grade at Catholic school and wanting to read Harry Potter, and I wasn't allowed to.
You weren't allowed to?
I was not allowed
in school.
In school. Oh, no, okay. At home I could do whatever I wanted. But I mean, like, it was this whole, like, sorcery equals evil. Like, it was no Harry Potter, no Lord of the Rings, no, nothing like that.
I remember, I saw a meme going around, and it was just like, if you didn't know at least one kid in middle school who wasn't allowed to read Harry Potter for religious reasons, are you even from the Midwest?
Yeah, for real.
It blew my mind
because it was a new school that I was going to when I was in sixth grade, and I was like, you guys are crazy. Like, this is stupid. Like, I remember,
I knew so many people that weren't allowed to read Harry Potter.
I think we talked about this where, like, I've had friends that weren't allowed to watch Hercules. Because it was, like, worshipping false gods and things like that.
Yeah.
It's very intense.
Yeah, it is. Okay, so in the early 1700s in America, paranoia regarding witches began to clash with Puritanism here in the States in particular. Did you ever see the movie The Witch?
No.
It was an A24 movie. It is really good. I know some people didn't like it because it's so kind of, I don't want to say historically accurate because it's still, you're talking about magic and things like that.
Right.
But the way it's shot and, like, the language they use is
it's really cool.
Very puritanical, colonial America.
Yeah.
Some people found boring because it's, like, old English and shit like that. But the way that they show the ways in which, like, a woman's sexuality kind of clashed with Puritanism at the time.
I always think about The Crucible.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's always my first thing that I think
of. Yeah, I always think about The Crucible first, too. And then I always think about how The Crucible was actually written about McCarthyism. Oh, did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah, he wrote...
I forgot about that,
He wrote The Crucible as, like, a... Because McCarthyism was, like, having people blacklisted was, like, a witch hunt.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but I always think about The Crucible right away, too. But, yeah, you're talking about...
Well, especially, isn't the beginning of The Crucible where they're, like, dancing around a fire and it's, like, this kind of, like, sexual thing, and then it's, like...
Well,
oh, like they're...
witchcraft is directly tied to a woman's sexuality.
Oh, yes, most definitely.
Which is why it was so scary in a place like Puritan New England, because you couldn't even wear colored clothing or have buttons on your clothes.
This blew my mind. So in 1645, I shouldn't say blew my mind, it made me laugh. In Springfield, Massachusetts, they experienced the first accusations of witchcraft between a husband and wife, Hugh and Mary Parsons, who were accusing each other of witchcraft.
Which is just, you're a witch. No,
you're a witch. No, you're a witch. And Hugh was found innocent, while Mary was acquitted of witchcraft and sentenced to hanging for death of her child. And then she died in prison.
What happened to her child?
I didn't go into, like I said, I went into so many rabbit holes that I was like, I can't give everything to, you know, I'm assuming, like, the child died of something. And then they blamed each other for that, and it turned into a witch hunt.
Yeah, I mean, well, women were blamed for essentially everything that could happen ever in general.
And it's saying that between 1645 and 1663, now 1663 is when the Salem witch trials ended. They're saying that about 80 people throughout Massachusetts Bay Colony, just Massachusetts, were accused. And it was 13 women and 2 men that were executed from that. It's like the numbers are always like very much...
Oh,
way
yeah.
more women than
they will
men.
Always like lean heavy on the female side.
Oh yeah.
In general.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and I think if you want to talk about that a little bit, I think a big part of that is if we're talking about, you know, puritanical beliefs in a patriarchal society, women are always going to be looked at, you know, under a microscope even closer.
Yes, because we talked about this where you were saying when you were younger once where it was like your fault. If, like, you were talking about where someone had said that it would be your fault if a guy was, like, interested in you.
Oh,
or something
of course.
Like that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it's like, we shouldn't be tempting the boys.
Yes.
Kind of
you
thing.
Don't want to. I think the exact thing that they would say is, like, you don't want to cause your brother in Christ to stumble. You don't want to be stumbling
that's what
block
you said.
For
yeah.
your brother in Christ. So if he does sin, for instance, if he were, let's talk about perhaps an instance that could happen in a puritanical society. If a man were to rape you and get you pregnant, that's probably your fault because what did you do to cause him to stumble? You know what I mean?
Wow, things haven't changed, right?
Oh my God.
Like, this sounds really familiar with, like, what's going on
familiar.
Right now.
essentially that. And so women who were maybe quirky or odd or strong-willed.
We'd be fucked.
Yeah, or expressed any kind of, anything that was outside of what you would think is a good, sweet, Christian, Puritan wife.
Yeah.
Or woman would be looked at with suspicion.
Yeah, and I think it's funny, too, because it reminds me so much of, like, Desperate Housewives, because people would, like, accuse their neighbors for, like, really dumb shit. Like, I was trying to, like, explain it to T. I was like, it's like
Desperate Housewives.
I know, I love Desperate Housewives, too. But it's like, let's say your dog was peeing on your neighbor's lawn and it was really making her mad. So she accused your mom of being a witch because she cursed your dog to, like, be peeing on the
grass. I mean, very often it was like... their crops aren't, their crops didn't come in, or their livestock is dying, and they don't want to accept any responsibility for this, or say that, you know, it's easier to be like, well, scary old Mary so-and-so down the street is creepy as fuck.
Totally fucking shit up right
now. And she never
now.
Got married, so she's probably doing this because she told me to fuck off once. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, like, easier to do that.
Very, yes.
So if you were just kind of, like, a strong, outspoken figure, that could happen, and you see it play out time and time again. If you like watch any of these documentaries on the witch trials, it very often starts out that way, or it starts out as kind of like trying to get their land or be able to get things from them if you can get them out of the way. And the easiest way is to be like, she's a witch, hang her.
Yeah, you know? That's the interesting thing that I think about when it comes to the Salem witch trials is Elizabeth Hubbard. And I did do a bit of reading about her because I find her very fascinating. And she was 17 years old in 1692 when all this was starting. And she, her uncle was this Dr. Griggs, and he kind of, like, took her in as, like, it was supposed to be, like, an adopted daughter situation, but she was, like, a housemaid for him, basically. I don't think she was treated very well. She definitely wasn't very well educated. But this physician, Dr. Griggs, would diagnose her and several of the other girls with an affliction of the, quote-unquote, mm-hmm. evil hand. So she's friends with these girls who are anywhere between, like, 12 and 20 years old. And two that were really notable were Abigail Williams and Betty Proctor, I believe.
Proctor, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, or was it Paris? There's, they all have...
I think it's Proctor.
I think it is, too, but there's multiple of the same names here, and I get very confused.
Of course, because they didn't have any fucking originality. I know, they're all like Marys
and Elizabeth. Mary, Elizabeth, Abigail.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But they were apparently, like, really... like close friends, and they would listen to tales told by Tituba, the slave owned by Reverend Samuel Paris, which was Betty Paris's father. And because Elizabeth was Dr. Griggs' maidservant, she probably knew about the fits that Abigail and Betty had, and they were like 9 and 11 years old, and they would like would start throwing things and screaming and making weird sounds and like distort their bodies and like bend funny and like kind of sounds like watching The Exorcist a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, they would just do these crazy things. And then they started blaming the slave, of course.
Yeah, these girls were shitty.
They were shitty, and they would make these crazy fucking claims. And then Elizabeth would say that she was, like, in a trance for most of Elizabeth Proctor's trial. And so she, like, couldn't even speak. Oh, no, it was Betty Paris and Abigail Williams, because I believe it was against Elizabeth Proctor. Mm. And then it was also Jonathan Proctor was also accused, I believe, as well. And so they started accusing a bunch of other fucking people, and they believed them. And Elizabeth Hubbard was old enough, she was 17, that she could like go to trial and be seen as like a credible like witness to testify. Mm-hmm. And they just believed everything that she said, and it was complete nonsense. And then she would just start shaking and like,
yeah, because they were scared, you know what I mean? And it was easy to... And if,
to me, it sounds like it was some fun little game
that
they were playing.
No, I mean, the people were scared.
Yeah.
The girls are shitty. Like, they're just shitty.
Oh, yeah.
But the people were scared, and I can actually say...
And they were playing on that.
From growing up in a religious household, your fear of the devil is real.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I used to be so scared that, like, when I first learned about the movie The Exorcist, mm-hmm. I was so scared that I was going to become possessed. Like, that was a real fucking fear of mine.
I full on believed in demons. Like, full on believed in demons. And I very much believed in hell, and I very much believed in the devil. And it's
horrifying. You're taught it's the scariest thing ever.
Right. And it's the most, you know, horrible thing ever to go to hell and like eternity, and that's
you're burning forever.
And, like,
yeah,
it is so terrifying that I can kind of see how if you're seeing these girls kind of like twitch and writhe in front of you and say that they saw the devil,
yeah,
that you, if you're so entrenched
that
in
is
that
fear
environment,
numero uno,
yeah, that you believe it, and it seems so irrational now, but at the time it's like I see how you could get wrapped up in like, witch mania,
very much so,
you know.
She had 40 legal complaints, 32 testified, 17 were arrested, 13 hanged, and 2 died in jail. Just from this one girl's
horrifying
accusations.
What a bitch.
I know. It's like, what the fuck? And no one knows what happened to her afterwards. Like,
she was just like, deuces, I'm out.
She literally, like left, and then, like, historians are like, oh, well, we found, like, Elizabeth Hibbins or something like that, where she may have gotten married, but like
there were too many Elizabeths.
I know,
for you to know.
There's no like specific record.
How could you live with yourself if you had done
She's crazy. Like, there's so many neurotic, crazy people in this world, Keegan, that this doesn't even seem that far stretched to me.
Insane.
I'm like, she crazy, but I've heard this story.
That's a lot of deaths. That's a lot of
That's
deaths.
That's a lot of deaths.
Like, if you had just done a couple and then been like, hey, I'm done.
That's still not good, Keegan.
It's not good, but I would have been like, okay, she thought she was playing a game. She's a child.
She's 17.
And shit got out of hand.
At that time, 17 years old is like not a child.
Sure, but I'm like, maybe shit got out of hand. But like, fucking 40 or something? That's insane.
It was 40 complaints, 32 testified, 13 were hanged, 2 died in jail.
Too many.
17 arrested. Oh, yeah, it's way too many. It's fucked. It's so
fucking. And one guy was crushed with I remember
they
that
were pressed.
Part.
Yeah.
Pressed with like concrete blocks.
Yeah.
Horrifying.
Yeah.
That was the one that always haunted me because he was like, I'm not going to confess to being a witch. And they're like, we're just going to keep putting these concrete blocks
until
your
you
chest
confess.
Collapse.
Well, yeah, they were trying to like get him to confess to these things and then he wouldn't confess to them. So
horrifying.
He got crushed.
Horrifying. Well, women were obviously considered the weaker sex.
Yeah.
I think that is something that, for a lot of people, still holds true. And so they were therefore seen more susceptible to corruption by the devil, like less able to protect themselves.
Right.
Should the devil come a-knockin', you know what I'm saying? So
can you please say that again?
The devil comes a-knockin'?
Comes a-knockin'. Oh, devil, I'm so sorry. I was just sitting here in my home.
I was just drinking my... I don't know why they're from the South.
My sweet tea.
It's supposed to be in, like, New England, and we're like... sitting on my porch.
The way he said, come a knocking though. I was just sitting here drinking my tea.
Yeah.
And you came in.
Well,
tempting me so.
I know. I mean, that is how it's often phrased.
Well, like, yeah, because it's Adam and Eve. It's the snake with the apple.
And yeah, and so often it is also like, very often if you like look at these witch trials, it's like, yeah, she had sex with the devil.
Yeah.
It's like the devil like showed up. Whipped his dick out, and then it was just like, hey, and then now you're a witch. Okay. So, reasons women would be accused of witchcraft.
I'm fine. It's all good. It's fine.
They could be accused of witchcraft for things like insubordination or just talking back, you know, having a spine. If a man feels seduced or aroused, that's your fault.
Yes.
If he gets a boner, that's your bad. If another woman feels threatened. There were a lot of women who accused
other women
of being witches.
And don't we, like, so much of this not in a physical, like, witch trial. We still see so much today where it's like you accuse a woman of something else to make yourself feel better or look better in the eyes of a certain person. And it's that whole, like, girl-on-girl competition that has lasted forever.
Yeah, tale as old as time.
Yeah.
I mean, and they would do it. They would accuse other women. And again, I think... they would probably use their feminine wiles to go to the men in charge, you know, and they would accuse these women of witchcraft to a court of male leaders during the witch trial. So they weren't the ones who were necessarily condemning them to die.
No, but they were the ones that were giving the accusations to other
people.
Once
you were accused, it was very difficult.
Well, and this is the thing for me, and you could maybe explain this better to me, but it's one, like, they would talk, these are trials, so they would talk about proof and things like that. Was
right.
it just all hearsay? Or would they say, like, I remember hearing things where it's like, oh, look at the freckle formation on
right.
her shoulder or
I mean,
things like that.
That's the thing is, like, it's so weird to look at because it's such a handful of... We look at trials today, and yes, of course, there's so much corruption in our legal system. And
but there has to be proof. But, that's kind of one of the main things, right?
Right. At least... it's a certain degree. Back then, it was like, yes, there still had to be proof. Like, they still had to prove it, but it was like, what did that mean? Like, proving it did
was
mean...
Was it like a convincing story?
It was like, strip her naked and check her body for moles. If you find moles, those are devil's marks. They would say that your familiar can...
That is fucking...
We're fucked.
Everyone.
We're fucked.
Everyone.
Because we both have moles.
Yeah.
But yeah, they would say, like, I have, like, a skin tag. They would
How do you know I have a mole on my butt, Keegan?
Oh, I didn't. Ooh, I have seen you naked, though.
I was gonna say, it's not like you haven't seen me naked or anything.
But, like, they would check, you know, in particular areas to see if, like, for instance, for me, I'd probably be pretty screwed because in this, like, area where, like, my leg bends, like, at my hip, I have, like, a skin tag. And they would look for things like that, moles or skin tags, because they would say that your familiar, which means, like, an animal, like your cat or your frog or whatever, you could feed it. Through, like, it's like a nipple.
Yes.
Like, you could feed it through your, like, your devil's mark or whatever. So this is the kind of proof they're looking at, right? This is their loose forms of proof, like, or, you know, again, behavioral issues.
Yeah.
Like, if she's acting out, then that's or she's hysterical. That's a sign of the devil. Or
well, and hysterical was one of those things where she really didn't have to do much.
No, you could be hysterical. And also, you're being accused of witchcraft. You're being put in a cell.
You'd be fucking pissed.
You might be hung. Yeah. I'd be hysterical. And then
there'd be so much... Again, it would be a situation where Keegan and Madigan would be in a cell together.
Oh, we're done.
And I would be uncontrollably sobbing, and you would just be
cursing.
Like, shut up! Shut up, Madigan!
I would just be cursing the entire time.
I'd be like, somebody hold me, please!
We would both be killed immediately. But yeah, I mean, and then they would do those things where, of course, the notorious, like, swim test.
Mm!
Like, if she floats...
The water test.
Yeah, if she floats, she's a witch. If she drowns, well, sorry.
Well, it's like, of course, that you're going to take a breath, your lungs are going to fill with air, and you're going to float?
Well,
unless you're dead.
A lot of these people drowned because they couldn't swim.
Right.
You know, and
they were bound. You can't swim when your arms and legs are bound.
And even if you weren't, these people weren't versed in, like, swimming. So it was kind of like, and if they did make it to shore, they would be hung as a witch anyway. It was a no-win situation. So it was like, if you were accused, there were people who were accused who were acquitted of witchcraft. I've definitely seen cases. But for the most part, if you were accused... It was pretty much done. Like, it was pretty much done. And yeah, they would have evidence like, well, she came over to my house and then the next day my chickens died. And it's like, well, that's not proof, though. You know, okay. Anyway.
I think it is. I think it all makes total sense.
Female sexuality is often seen as the cause of disaster in a lot of old school folklore, right? Like, you've got sirens and mermaids who would, like, lure men to their death with their beauty. And again, we're looking at this. Guys, all of this is, like, old school rape culture, right? It's just like, I couldn't help myself because she's so beautiful and her voice is so pretty. Or, like, what the fuck ever.
The Little Mermaid?
Sure, yeah. Also problematic. Or, you know, the femme fatale trope.
Yeah.
Right? Like, she
sexy
lured
but
me.
Evil.
Yeah. Or female vampires.
Yeah.
Or Eve, like we discussed earlier, you know, Adam and Eve. It's kind of like, this has been a trope throughout, and it's so therefore, like,
well,
female...
and Eve was the one that took the apple, right?
Right.
Yeah.
She was tempted by Satan.
Yeah.
And ate the apple, and it caused the downfall of all mankind.
It's all the woman's fault.
Yeah. I mean, well, and so you can see how female sexuality, we had this base for, like, female sexuality being seen as something to be afraid of.
Right, and it was something that was strictly for reproduction.
Right, or just for your husband. Like, you can be sexual with your husband, but even then,
You probably shouldn't show that you're enjoying it too much.
Yeah, yeah.
You probably should just lie back and take it, is probably how it was, as awful as that phrase that
I'm sure that there were healthy marriages. I'm sure that
Sure. I'm sure it wasn't, you know, not a thing, but I think that when it would come to probably really religious households, I mean, I even have family to this day. I have a family member who's never French kissed her husband. She's never seen his penis.
Oh, no. Does she wear one of those weird handmade sheets where there's just a hole?
I'm not going to ask this person because, like,
ask
fuck
a relative
no.
about their intimate sexual life.
My mom straight up does. Like, they'll, like, get this person drunk and then be like, tell us more about this stuff.
That is so sad.
I know. It's really crazy. So, I mean, it's 2018 and she's...
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
you
like...
You do have a point. Yeah.
If you're in a really religious marriage, it doesn't matter if the husband loves you or things like that. Like, it might just be what they believe, where you just kind of need to go back and take it, reproduce.
Right.
It's not
and
there
it's for
your pleasure.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and women, I'm sure that there were women that were, like, this relative of mine who probably fully believes that, like, that's the right thing. It's not like everyone always felt super oppressed. I'm sure they were like, oh no, this is my duty.
Well,
this is what I'm supposed
again,
to do.
Again, you know, I was just listening to a podcast earlier where they were talking about the Kavanaugh situation and how Women for Trump sprang up the day after the Grab the Pussy video.
Yeah.
And it was because these women were coming out and saying, like, don't speak for our morality. Like, you can't say that we're oppressed, like, or that we find this oppressive.
Yeah.
So, you know, people have different gauges. To me, that's bananas. But, like, people have different gauges for what they deem. They don't see themselves as being oppressed. Like, they do not see that.
Yeah, it was the photo that Michaela, one of our listeners, posted on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That just was like...
Yeah, I don't need feminism because X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
And it's like, you don't get it. You just don't get it.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. I bet a lot of these, you know, women didn't see... They just saw it as the way things are and, like, the way that society is supposed to be and there is nothing else. So when you saw a woman who was very confident in her body and in her sexuality, that was probably... horrifying.
And you got a quick little flash of ankle. And you were just like, oh my stars.
Oh my.
Why are they always Southern?
I don't know. I'm so sorry to our Southern listeners. I'm so sorry.
I'm kind of sorry. I don't know. I can't do a New England accent, so I'm just going to do Southern.
Yeah, and who knows what that would have sounded like anyway. I mean, I guess Watch the Witch. I think that they did a pretty good job. Well, yeah, witches have been used... They've been used, and especially at this time, I think, or sexuality in general, and witches in particular, were really used as, like, a scare tactic for women. It was kind of like, don't walk this path, don't be this sexual, because
well,
if you do...
Well, it's still taught that way.
Yeah.
Like, the Salem witch trials are taught in schools and everything as a cautionary tale.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it depends on which kind of cautionary tale you decide to take from it. You know, don't accuse. You know, there are valuable lessons to be learned from that story. But then there are also lessons where it's like, don't rock the boat. Different things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, because if you divert from the norm, then you are more susceptible to being, you know, attacked by the devil or whatever, you know?
I mean, that to me also just seems very much like what still happens today. You divert from the norm, the more likely you are to be ridiculed and treated badly or seen as less of a human.
Right. I mean,
and that's really what it is that they're taking away their humanity.
With everything going on in the news, it's kind of like, so by the way, guys, we know that this isn't coming out until Monday, October 1st, but we are recording it on the 26th, so things could happen in the news between now and then.
Yeah.
But with everything that's going on in the news right now, I mean, you do see that still with, like, don't wear that short skirt, don't drink that alcohol, don't go to that party.
Well, it's the same with Brett Kavanaugh, where he was saying that, like, he doesn't, like, he recalls, like, knowing her or, like, that night, but he doesn't recall there being any sort of sexual assault.
Which I have lots to talk to you about in my
mini. I know, same, so excited. Yeah. So, I mean, like, not excited, but, like, excited.
No, good. It'll be good. But anyway, so that kind of happened all the way throughout Puritanical America. It's the same thing that kind of played into fear of Native Americans and their rituals that were considered, like, hedonistic by, you know, these... Christian
Puritans,
colonialists, that had settled into this area. But like we said, it wasn't just in America. Obviously, these traditions
it's
and
all
ideas
over the world.
Came from, you know, as far as Puritans in America, they came from Europe, but they've happened in every culture. There's always been a suspicion of women, powerful women, and particularly healers in general.
Yes, as being witches. And it's interesting because... As I was doing my research, you know, I imagined that it would be a lot of stories like what we've told. This is a long time ago. This was the 1600s. It's things like that. And there are still so many instances that happen today where people believe that there are demons or evil living inside of people. For example, in Tanzania, about 500 older women are murdered each year for accusations of witchcraft. In Saudi Arabia, witchcraft and sorcery is a crime punishable by death. In 2011, 12, and 14, there were like accounts of this in Saudi Arabia. In some parts of Africa, children are vulnerable to violence related to witchcraft accusations, and also immigrant communities of the UK. And that brought me to learning about the murder of Victoria, I'm probably going to say her last name wrong, I'm so sorry, Klimbe? It's got a...
Wait, I know. Was she young?
She was really... She's 8 years old.
Yes. Oh, God.
This is
I
in
know
London.
This story.
You
this
guys,
is awful.
This is really awful.
So trigger warning, because this is awful.
This is really... I don't get into detail because this would be... It would be a whole episode. So this... 8-year-old girl, Victoria, was tortured and murdered by her guardians. She was burnt with cigarettes, tied up for periods longer than 24 hours, hit with bike chains, hammers, and wires. And then there was Christy Bamu. Again, I apologize if I'm saying their names wrong or butchering it in any way. And he was savagely tortured before being drowned in a bath by his sister on Christmas Day in 2010.
I didn't realize these were witchcraft related.
It's kind of like a demonic sorcery witchcraft thing. So in the case of Bamu, Magali Bamu and her boyfriend Eric Bikubi became convinced that he was possessed by Kindoki or witchcraft and was trying to harm or control another family.
I've heard this one too.
Yeah, and then Victoria's aunt Mary Therese Kuao and brother Carl Manning claimed that the girl was possessed. So I read that families or caregivers will genuinely believe that the victim has been completely taken over by the devil or an evil spirit. So the fact that they are hurting these children is not... They're not hurting the kid. They're hurting, like, the demon, and they're killing that within
them. There are several stories like that. I've heard...
And those are both in the UK.
Yeah, I've heard many like that. I've actually heard of one that was here in the States, and a father did something similar. The one with Victoria in particular, though, this is just my personal belief after watching... I watched a documentary or something about it. I think that she's lying. I think she's just shitty. And she just...
Oh, and, like, that's her excuse?
I think that's her excuse.
No, I mean, I think that... That's most people's excuses.
Well, but I think some people really believe it.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
I do. I think that some people believe that their child. I read one really horrible one, or I was listening to a podcast, I think, and it was a father, and he was mentally ill.
Yeah.
It turned out he had like schizophrenia or some kind of mental illness.
Well,
but
then
he really believed that his kid was possessed by the devil.
Yeah, like, and that's scary. If you really believe it, that is really scary, and that person needs the help that they deserve.
Right.
But I'm sure there are a lot of people who are just completely shitty, and when I talk about these other countries and things like that, I don't know how credible it is to what they're thinking is what they actually believe, or what they're saying is what they actually believe.
Mm-hmm.
It very well, again, you create fear in somebody's mind of something, and you can manipulate them in
any
way.
Beliefs are, I mean, and yeah, that goes outside of... Because I think very often we can get so wrapped up, you know, being from a Western Christian, mostly Christian country. I feel like we can get very wrapped up in being like, well, these other cultures, and they're so, quote unquote, exotic and dark and all of those things. But really, I mean, it happens in every single religion.
It really does.
Belief is so strong and, like, can convince you.
That you can be violent and hateful even when
fear.
What you're taught is to be good and accepting, you know?
Belief and fear.
Again, not all religious people.
Of course not. Yes, this is not a blanket statement.
No,
you know?
But there are people who will take things like that and blame it on their religion or their beliefs when really they're just being a shitty person.
Right, yeah. I mean, and there are also some people who truly do believe it.
Yes.
You know, it
goes
both ways.
But how are we to know?
Yeah, it goes both ways.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to bounce back over into the U.S.
Bounce, girl, bounce.
Okay. So I have a fun fact for you coming up in a minute.
I'm excited.
In 1893, Matilda Jocelyn Gage, an American suffragist, wrote the book Woman, Church, and State, and in it she reframed the witch hunts as a misogynistic attempt by the church and state to police female sexuality, women's bodies, and women's reproductive function. So
this is
kind of the first time where you take the idea of the witch and you frame it as something kind of positive. It's a woman trying to be liberated, and it's society that is keeping her down. So it kind of frames the witch as a positive.
Yeah.
Here's my fun fact for you, Madigan.
I'm excited.
Her son-in-law is none other than L. Frank Baum.
No!
Who wrote The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, and he was inspired by her writing to conceive of the witch as not only evil, but also good.
I knew that name.
Yes, that's his mother-in-law.
I knew I was going to ask you, too. Yes.
Yes, so when he wrote The Wizard of Oz, he took into account her writings about witches.
Yes.
And that's why he wrote both a good witch and a bad witch.
You guys, I'm not gonna say it on the podcast. I've done a lot of very in-depth research on The Wizard of Oz lately, and his feminist views from his mother-in-law are so heavily played in The Wizard of Oz that you can't tell from just watching the movie. It's something that you have to experience through the book and, like, really know the stories. Mm-hmm. Like, the female protagonists are amazing, but I'll get into that another time. It's fine,
but that's amazing. But I would argue, on the vein of Wizard of Oz, I would argue not only was The Wizard of Oz kind of, like, a major, major hit at the time it came out, I would say that for a lot of modern people, it reconceptualized what our idea of witches were. That's how we got, you know, the pointy black hat and the green skin.
Yeah.
And, you know, that hook nose and writing.
Well, and it's also interesting, too, because in the movie, there is the only bad witches are ugly trope.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think also kind of plays on not even, you know, seductress women, but also, like, if they're different or ugly or weird, they must be bad witches. And then the good witch is in pink, and she's beautiful.
Beautiful and glittery.
And her voice is so nice to listen to, and it's just...
But...
And the other witch has colored skin, has a long, long nose and warts and moles and
kind of hunched over.
Hunched over and ugly and decrepit.
Very
and,
scratchy.
Well, they almost made her beautiful. They almost made her kind of like the
I think that's way scarier.
The witch from Snow White. But, I mean, I'm obviously very glad that they did what they did with the witch because it has really
What's
made this archetype of what we think of witches. But it is interesting when it comes to even, you know, that's why I'm saying it's not, you can't base the feminism necessarily off the movie. There are different things, you know.
But I think that it's important to note, though, that the movie is really what opened up in popular culture this idea of witches not only as evil, and yes, it's problematic and it's complicated, but also it's the first time you see a good witch.
Right.
Like, you don't see a good witch in popular culture up until this point.
Right.
And that is really kind of what, after that, you start seeing witches that are more playful, that are more fun.
Sabrina
you know?
The Teenage Witch.
Yeah.
These witches are actually referred to as white witches or white witchcraft, which I was like, why do you gotta make them white? Why do you gotta...
Because it's pure...
Why do you gotta bring race into this
black
shit? But
magic.
It's not, but whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But they are strictly benevolent. They're, like, they strongly identify with the concept of, like, ethical codes and that prevent them from performing magic on someone without the other person's consent.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just wrote consent is sexy next to it because I just need to remind you at all costs, you know.
Thank you. I had lost
not
sight
you,
of it.
Not you. Not you. I know I'm looking at you and look like I'm telling you this stuff. I'm talking into a microphone. Keegan, we're doing a podcast right now.
I know.
We talk into a microphone and other people are going to listen to it.
I'm just saying, you were looking at me in my eyes.
Because they're so beautiful.
Thank you.
I just get a little lost
Thanks.
In your eyes.
Okay, anyway. So, speaking of playful and fun depictions of witches, let's talk a little bit about Bewitched. So, because I found this interesting when I was doing my witchy research.
I'm trying to wiggle my nose.
I cannot do that. I cannot do the Samantha nose wiggle. I've tried many times.
I'm wiggling my jaw.
My great-grandpa could wiggle his ears without moving the rest of his face.
I've seen that before. I can't do that.
Either. Bewitched was released in the early 1960s, and it was nearly the same time as Betty Friedan's book, The Feminine Mystique, which we all know deals with the plight of, you know, 1950s middle-class white housewives, which, as does Bewitched. They're kind of similar in that way. The women's lib movement was kind of bubbling under the surface at this time, and several episodes of Bewitched were even written by self-proclaimed feminist Barbara Avedon. So there was a lot of early feminist leanings in Bewitched, which you can kind of see. She has so much independence. In Bewitched, Samantha's magic is something her husband, Darren, cannot control.
Yeah.
And in that way, it gives her freedom and it gives her agency.
Yeah.
So
That's a great show.
Yeah. And she's able to kind of do things outside of her husband's grasp. He's always like, stop using magic, because...
And you're like, no.
Yeah, she's like, no, I have this power and I'm going to use it. So I love that there's a kind of feminist undercurrent to that, that show.
Especially during that time period.
Yeah.
It was really great to see.
Yeah.
I loved Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Mm-hmm. They're doing a new one now that I guess is going to be real dark and scary.
I saw the trailer for that.
I'll check it out. I think it's by the same people who did Riverdale, and I was really disappointed with Riverdale. I'm sorry. I'm sure there's lots of listeners that love it. I was really disappointed in it.
I couldn't get into Riverdale.
It was too cheesy for me. It's very Pretty Little Liars.
It's so teenager-y.
Yeah, I think I'm just past it.
I'm too old.
I know. I'm like, I can't relate anymore, you guys.
But it's going to be... Kieran, the girl from Mad Men, the little girl.
Yeah.
She's going to be...
She's
going to
be Sabrina. Yeah, exactly. Can I talk a little bit about Wicca?
Yes, please.
Okay. So, Margaret Murray had a pan-European witch cult theory that was published in 1921. And then this Gerald Gardner's Witchcraft Today article in 1954 claimed that witchcraft still existed. So Murray had made this, like, theory, and then, like, 30-some years later, this other person is like, yeah, this still exists, and Murray had wrote this intro to kind of, like, say that all of this stuff had still existed. And I think that, from what I can understand, that started spurring certain, like, Wiccan literature. And Wiccan literature has been described as aiding the empowerment of young women through its lively portrayal of female protagonists. Mm-hmm. And then again, we're talking about more modern portrayals of witches, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, you know, Hermione and Luna from Harry Potter, Charmed. You know, things like Charmed. Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
And Wiccan beliefs are often found to be compatible with liberal ideas such as the Green Movement.
Mm-hmm.
Wiccan literature is feminist because it provides women with means for empowerment and control of their own lives. A 2002 study, Enchanted Feminism, The Reclaiming Witches of San Francisco, suggests Wiccan religion represents the second wave of feminism that has also redefined as a religious movement, where they're kind of comparing, like, the feminist movement to almost being, like, a religious movement kind of experience. If we're going to talk more about Wiccans today, they very much avoid the appearance of evil at all costs, and their motto is harm no one. They strive to live peaceful, tolerant, and balanced lives in tune with nature and humanity. Their spells and incantations are usually taken from the Book of Shadows, which can be compared to that of, like, prayer and other religions. Mm-hmm. Modern-day potions are most likely to be an herbal remedy for the flu or things like that. And today's spells are typically used to stop someone from doing evil or harming themselves. And again, very much looking like prayer.
Yeah, it's all very positive in general.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's this really great store in... remember whenever we were looking through some of your stuff and you had that... stone that I had given you that one time. I got it from a store called The Green Man in NoHo, which is a great little store, and it's a Wiccan store, and they sell lots of you know, things that you would need.
Yeah.
And they have, like, an apothecary there who has, like, a whole thing of herbs. And again, like, their potions are essentially just herbal remedies.
So it's interesting, though, because, like, I've known a few people who are Wiccan, and the, like, ridicule that they would get from the people around me and the fear that was surrounding it made me believe that there was something that I should be afraid of. So the reason I'm saying this is because it was fascinating for me to read more about it and to understand, because I didn't know that their motto was, like, harm no one. You know what I mean? You don't know how certain people are going to take certain religions.
Look at the way that, I mean, we were just talking about the ways in which people would not let their children read Harry Potter.
Yeah.
So... anything that's associated with witchcraft, we automatically deem to be evil for really no reason at all. Like, there's no reason.
Well, and we have a certain image of in our minds of, like, what that looks like.
Because where it's, we, like, associate witches with the devil.
Well, or we picture someone in the middle of their studio apartment with a big black cauldron.
Yeah.
You know.
Boil, toil, and trouble.
Yeah. That's definitely not the line at all.
Toil, boil.
Double, boil, and trouble. Something burn and something bubble. I had to do that scene and I can't remember what it is. So
anyway.
I shouldn't be chastising you. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If you didn't do it, somebody would have. But yeah, I mean, whenever really Wicca and, you know, paganism in general and even Satanism are actually pretty peaceful religions.
Yeah, it's just there is a lot of fear around it. And
it's because of the
I mean,
language.
You say Satanism, that scares the shit out of me.
But it,
like,
shouldn't.
That. It shouldn't, like, but it does.
If you really,
but that's why
into...
I want to learn more about it so I don't feel as scared.
Yeah, if you really look into what Satanists really believe in, it's scary because we have...
What do they believe in?
Well, I don't want to speculate right now without having looked this
okay,
up.
All right, we'll talk about it off
the air. It's a fairly peaceful religion. Like, it's not, they don't really hurt anybody.
Yeah.
They mostly don't mess with anybody. I think that's pretty much the, the thing is, like, just leave me alone and I'll leave you alone kind of situation there.
Okay.
But yeah, it's all around language and kind of, like, what we were brought up to believe. And we take everything kind of through our Christian lens because that's where both of you and I were raised in a kind of Christian environments and brought up with that kind of language.
Well, and then also, like, you think about the religious fear that we have in general in this country that has been for a long time. Like, who was the first Catholic president? Was it Kennedy?
John F. Kennedy, yeah.
Yeah, and so since then, especially, I feel like there was, like, a certain, like, value that was supposed to be upheld by all American citizens because it was American, because the president was Catholic and Christian and all this kind of stuff.
Well, I mean, it was a big deal to even have John F. Kennedy be a president because up until that point, all presidents have been Protestant Christians, quote unquote, whether how practicing or not.
Yeah.
They all claim to be kind of like Protestant Christians. So even having a Catholic president
was
kind of a pearl clutcher for a lot of people.
Yeah, and then think, you know, we spoke about 9/11. Think about, like, Islamophobia and things like that.
Where absolutely.
The religions are really not that different, but because we can point to specific examples that scared us, we generalize right. so largely into it
you're
being,
not
like,
exactly
the whole,
like us.
Yeah.
And that is scary.
And because you're a little bit different, even just a little bit different than we are.
And because people
and we're not going to take the time to learn right. about the differences and the similarities.
And because some people in your group may have done something. And I feel like very often that happens with witchcraft as well, with modern day witchcraft. Wiccas, people who practice Wicca, Wiccans, people who practice Wicca, I feel like oftentimes get lumped in. Of course, they got lumped in with that satanic panic that
of
happened
course.
In the 80s. They get lumped in anytime there's like a hint that there might be something occult that happened in any
yeah.
crime.
Or,
you know?
Again, still, if there was anything that went wrong that they were involved in, it's kind of like when you look at, like, the Columbine killings, where they look at the killers, and they come up with a lot of, like, satanic worship and things like that as reasons, because everybody always wants to know reasons for why bad things happen.
Right,
and
it makes you
easier,
feel safer.
Yeah, it's easier to, like, point a reason on somebody who is different and is something that we've been taught to fear.
Right. Well, because it makes you feel safe, because you can say, well, I mean, it's the same reason, again, the parallels here are just, like, so strong. Like, it's the same reason why we have a tendency to blame victims, right?
Yeah.
Because if we can just say, well, I never would have been at that party, or
yeah.
I never would have had that much to drink, or I don't worship, I don't, like, look at occulty things, so it could never happen to me.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? If I can just stop my kids from ever looking at witch stuff, then they won't be killers.
Exactly.
You know, it's, and it's
exactly.
like, it makes you feel safe because it's something you feel like you can control,
uh-huh.
when in reality it's like, that's not how life
or
works.
Or you just need a reason.
Right.
Yeah.
yeah.
And it
yeah.
makes you feel safer if you can just
absolutely.
Pinpoint something that makes sense
yeah,
in your head.
Yeah, if you can say, like, this mom was a shitty mom, and that's why this thing happened to her
uh-huh.
kids. Well, I'm not a shitty mom, so that thing won't happen to my
exactly.
kids. Like, it makes you feel safe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oy.
Well, do you have anything else?
I mean, I have a lot, Keegan, but a lot of it is more so getting into history and Old Testament stuff and things like that. But
I mean,
like,
honestly, we could talk about specific witch trials. Like, we...
Oh, yeah. We could go forever.
There's so much here, and all of it fascinating,
mm-hmm.
for sure.
I mean, I'm just excited that we're going to be talking about kind of spooky stuff. I really like... I think that's my favorite part of this time,
oh,
is that
know.
All the scary movies. Keegan, can we please go see... You're the only person that will see scary movies with me.
Oh, I'll go.
I want to see The Nun.
I want to see The Nun. The Nun's out right now.
Yeah.
What are there any other scary
There's
movies?
One called, like, Hellfest or something that looks, like, so-so.
I'll have to take a look. I really wanted to go to Halloween Horror Nights this year, but...
I cannot do that.
It's so expensive.
Cannot do that.
Listen.
I've never seen The Exorcist.
Oh, my God.
I reference it and know all about it, but I've never actually seen the movie.
We should definitely watch The Exorcist. I love the... I mean, it's kind of slow in the beginning. It takes a long time to get going, but
okay.
once shit... get started, it's just like, bam,
can
bam,
you,
bam, bam,
like,
bam.
Come to my new apartment and watch?
Yes.
Yeah, you have to stay the night, though. There's no way I'm going to be, like, by myself.
I love scary movies. Probably, I mean, I own a million movies from my job.
Yeah.
And I've probably seen every scary movie I have in my collection.
I love it.
I love watching them.
I just always remember watching Pet Sematary with you and Anthony the first time I met him.
Have you seen the new It?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my God.
I watched about half of the old It with you, and then
the
I had to go
home. The new one is... The old one's... fine, but it's long. It's like a miniseries.
Yeah.
The new one is shorter.
Yeah.
And way fucking scarier.
Okay.
It's way scarier.
I'm down. I like a good Skarsgård, too.
Oh, and he's scary.
Yeah.
He's so scary in that movie. Yeah, I'm very excited about it, too. We've got some really fun stuff planned for you guys coming up. I guess not fun. Some of it won't be fun.
I was going to say, some of the stuff on the list I wouldn't classify as fun, but you do you, Keegan.
Some of it's dark.
Yeah.
Some of it's really dark, but we thought we kind of wanted to mix up some things like this, subjects of, like, witchcraft and things that you would traditionally think of coming up in October, with other things that are, like, real life scary.
Yeah.
You know, and things that women would deal with in real life that are frightening.
Yes.
So that's kind of what we have in store for you for the month of October. And
yeah.
we're really excited. We really hope you enjoyed this episode.
Can we say what else we're really looking forward to in October.
Oh, yeah. You go ahead.
Okay, you guys, we're doing another live show at our friend Arielle's pop-up for her company called The Swallow's Flight. The last one was so much fun. I'm going to have the whole day off of work this time so I can really enjoy it. It's going to be October 13th. She has the Eventbrite page up, so we should put that in our bio.
Yes, we're going to make a post probably before this episode comes out. We will have made a post, and we will put it in our bio at that time. You can buy tickets. We will have some stickers there for you. We're teaming up with Two Girl Book Party.
Yes.
Follow them on Instagram. They are a book club of sorts.
Yeah.
So we are going to be doing kind of a collab with them.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of like a live book club, but very much involving the content that you would usually get from our show.
One of our episodes. Yeah. So we're really excited about it.
It's going to be so much fun. I'm so excited. I feel so much less, like, apprehensive about it.
Mm-hmm. It won't be a billion degrees because it's October now.
I mean, one could only hope.
We hope.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to show up in, like, flannels and jackets and just be like, it's fall.
Although, it wasn't that bad last time. Like,
it was warm. Sweaty.
Yeah, I was sweating, but it was okay. Don't deter the listeners from coming. It won't be that bad.
No, and even last time, like, I think I was really nervous, too, so I was really sweaty. Yeah. But no, it was fine. It was really fun, and Arielle really knows how to put this shit together.
Yeah, honestly, I've never met somebody who has it so together aesthetically. It's really amazing.
Oh, yeah, we were looking for stuff for my new apartment the other day, and I was like, she's kind of helping
me
decorate.
Tell me what to buy. Yeah.
Well, and also, it's just like, it's funny how we can go into a store, and I think this with you, too, where, like, I'll look at something, and I'll be like, that's Arielle, or that's Keegan, or that's totally me. Like, it's interesting. I like that I have friends that have such specific, like, aesthetics, I guess. Uh-huh. Whereas, like, when I want to buy gifts, I'm like, I know exactly what I'd be looking for.
Yeah, for sure.
Hers, though, is, like, on another level of specificity.
It's so specific. Yeah, it's
like,
so specific.
Anything that you would think of being in your grandmother's, like, living room.
Yeah.
But is still cool.
Yeah.
Arielle would love it.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
Does that, like, encapsulate
it
well?
I was trying to think of it. It's kind of like, if your grandma was a hipster, but not hipster. It's like,
yeah,
I don't know. It's hard to explain. You know what? Just come to the pop-up, and you'll see it in real life. Get some tea, because her tea's amazing.
So good.
She has a tea and bookshop.
Buy some books.
Yeah, absolutely.
Read some books. Hang out with us. It's going to be so much fun. I'm so excited. I'm glad that we are starting to talk about it and are able to share with you guys who we're going to be working with. And I'm really excited for the whole experience. So the month of October is going to be a good one. I feel good about it.
I feel good too. So mark your calendars, October 13th. We hope to see you there.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes. And I don't remember specific times off the top of my head. So next episode that we record, we will keep giving you more and more information.
Yeah. And follow us on social media, because any updates that we have, if time changes, anything changes, that's where you're going to want to be, you know, because these episodes only come out, you know, 2 times a week and shit happens. So follow us on Instagram at Angry Neighborhood Feminist. You can get us on Twitter at YAMF Podcast, YAMF Podcast.
Oh, it was so slow this time.
Us, I know, I was waiting for you.
Oh, sorry.
You can get us on Facebook. We'll be doing updates in all of these places. If you have any stories that you'd like us to cover, if we got anything wrong, if you are a practicing Wiccan and want to share some stuff with us,
I want to know.
We would love to know. We are not well-versed. That was not the focus of my research this week.
I'm not either, but I wanted to touch on it.
No,
because
I'm so glad you did. So glad you did.
Thank you.
But, like, definitely, we love getting mail from you guys. We love learning new things and hearing your experiences. So send us an email.
You know what else and our email address is neighborhoodfeminist@gmail.com. But Keegan, you know what else we really, really love from our listeners?
What's that?
Reviews.
Yes.
We really love reviews.
Really, really.
We started doing Reviews Day Tuesday, where we would
this
is the thing, you know, we would showcase certain reviews. We typically try to pick the ones that kind of encapsulate what our show is and things like that for people to see.
And I didn't want it to get too redundant, because very often it was, you know, kind of similar reviews, which is fine.
Yeah.
It's a review. I don't care if it's
you haven't left a review and you haven't, I was going to say, rated us, but I guess that you have to rate to review. right?
I think so, yeah.
So if you haven't done any of those things, if you are a new listener, or if you've just been kind of like not doing it, like it would just be incredibly helpful to us. Helps us with promotion. It's great.
Life gets in the way so often. I follow so many podcasts and watch so many YouTube channels, and I do not always, you know, follow rate review.
Right. You don't think it's sometimes it's hard because you're thinking of it as like a consumer. You don't realize much it really does help that person.
I totally get it.
Same.
But this is just your reminder that it does help us out.
It's just a friendly nudge.
It does also help us out to listen on Radio Public.
That's a lot.
Super helpful.
A lot.
Anyway.
we're gonna like cash out at $20. We're each gonna get get for $10 each.
Like a large coffee at Starbucks.
Okay, cool. It's a date. And then we'll start back at zero. Oh, goodness, you guys. Thank you so much for being awesome. I have thoroughly enjoyed talking about witches with you tonight.
Me too.
I guess with that being said, we encourage you
to rage on.
Goodbye.